أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يحل لكم أن ترثوا النساء كرها ولا تعضلوهن لتذهبوا ببعض ما آتيتموهن إلا أن يأتين بفاحشة مبينة وعاشروهن بالمعروف فإن كرهتموهن فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. We discuss verse or ayat number 19 of Surah An-Nisa. From the very beginning of the Surah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had been speaking about different rights of women, orphans, and all those that are weak insofar as our women are concerned. The ayats before this, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had spoken about tawbah and repentance, and the very last that Allah Ta'ala gives us the chance to repent is at the time just before the ruh is extracted from the body. Coming back to the original theme of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again speaks about a very important aspect of our women. What was prevalent in the time of paganism, in the time before our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was that women were generally taken as commodities. They were taken as goods that were bought and sold. So what would happen then? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now cleanses communities and societies of that belief that the people have had. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَرِثُ النِّسَاءَ كَرْهًا. O believers, you have brought iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not permissible for you to inherit women by force. Even if it was not by force, then also you cannot inherit women because they are not commodities. Here Allah Ta'ala brought this word by force to show that is what was in vogue at the time of paganism, in the early days of Islam, not by the Muslims, but it was prevalent in Arabia at that particular time. So what would happen is when a woman was in the nikah of a man, and then that person had passed on, he passes away, then obviously his goods, his belongings now go to the inheritors. We've discussed the rightful inheritors in the verses before this. So the goods and the belongings would go to the inheritors. And like that, the inheritors by force will inherit that woman, the wife of that person. And the result is that they would do with her what they feel like doing or what they felt like doing. They would do. And the ultimate of it all was that if this woman had wealth in her possession, then that wealth also comes into her possession. Now either the individual will marry that woman, or alternatively he will force her to marry someone else, and then he will take control or possession of the mehr that would have come into the possession of that woman. So all of this, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala now rids and cleanses the community of all those customs and traditions that was in vogue, that obviously wasn't even human, forget Islamic. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ لِتَذْهَبُوا بِبَعْضِ مَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ. And do not constrain, do not hold back, do not hold on to the woman, so that you may take some of what you have given her, except that if she had embarked on an open indecency. Here is another aspect, that a man and a woman is in marriage, and in that marriage he is making zulm upon that woman. And after he makes zulm upon that woman, she obviously cannot remain in that marriage because that zulm sometimes becomes unbearable. So what they would do in those days is that they will hold that woman in that marriage. They will restrict her, confine her. They will not let her go freely. And one of the reasons would be is that they would want something in lieu of the divorce. I will let you go, but you give me something. Either the mehr that I have given you, anything else equivalent, more or less. But then they had committed the zulm, and then they would want some kind of thing in lieu of it, some material benefit, and then only they would let that woman go. Now there's two issues here. One is you are making zulm, that is in itself haram. Secondly, now you want to take something out of that woman, that is also not permissible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleanses and rids the community of that ill. But unfortunately, we find that that is still in vogue amongst the best of us in the ummah. Illa ayyatina bifahishatin mubayyina. Allah ta'ala makes one exclusion, except if she embarks upon an open... Fahisha actually refers to indecency, but some of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to translate it as indecency in itself. Other Sahaba used to say it generally means disobedient, that when a woman becomes disobedient to her husband, or she embarks on indecency, promiscuity, etc., immodesty, and now of course the fault is from her side, then of course our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had shown us how to make khula, and that is plus minus the mehr will be returned to the husband, and then the both of them will separate. وَعَشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, and live with them amicably. The word al-ma'roof actually means in a recognized way. Recognized by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Recognized by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Recognized in the shariat. Acceptable in the community, in the society. That is how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has commanded a man to live with a woman. Now, importantly is this, is that all of us are humans. Whether we are male, whether we are female, we are all insan, we are all humans. And being humans, we are going to have inherent faults in us. There are going to be some kind of flaw in our character. The important aspect is this, and this is also very strange, that I want everyone else to look at my good qualities, and I will look at the ill of everyone else. With regards to everyone else, I will use the microscope to try and find out every germ, every disease, every ill the person has. But as far as others are concerned, they should overlook my faults, and they should only look at my good. And this is one absolute flaw in human nature. Let us understand that we have flaws as men, we have flaws as human beings, and females, and others will also have errors and flaws and mistakes. We need to overlook the errors and flaws of everyone else. But Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا. If you dislike them, then perhaps you dislike something. وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put an abundance of goodness. That sometimes certain ill character, bad character shows out. So if that is not digestible, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put so many good qualities in other human beings, especially here in the case of one's wife, in the case of females. So look at the good and overlook the ill, and this becomes one of the very basic foundations of humans living happily in this world, is that we just need to overlook the ills and the bad of others, look at the good, and then inshallah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, like in Surah Rum, Allah ta'ala says, Allah ta'ala will put the mawadda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the rahmah. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.